Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
This is a very instructional chapter in the history of the first century church. This is a chapter I have longed to talk about, especially the first part of it. Been on my mind this week. Maybe all of it, don't know, but remember last week we talked about the stoning of Paul and the persecution of God's people and the church in the first century and how they went forth. Even while they fled from those who persecuted them, they preached the gospel. They were told to shut up and they preached the gospel. They were persecuted and they preached the gospel. They fled from their enemies and they preached the gospel. And what happened? God blessed the church and it prospered. And they had great joy. Now in chapter 15 of the book of Acts, we find as the church is being blessed, as is so often the case, and I've learned this the hard way, that when things are going good and things are going sweet and you think things are just perfect and can't get any better, then Satan will rear his ugly head. And our nature will come up and then trouble will appear. And God gives us a way to handle that. And that's also brought out some here also if we come to that. But I ask for your prayers. Acts 15 begins, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." First of all, Lord help me. Let me draw some pictures today. We are called by most in the world or in this nation, being Christians in this nation, we're called Judeo-Christians. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The church has nothing to do with Jerusalem or Judea or the law. And that's what these brethren have come forth preaching. Why do we identify ourselves with Judah, with the law? Christ fulfilled that. We identify ourselves with Christ and the grace of God. That's what the church is built upon. If we want to go back to the law service and the ceremonies and the ordinances and the rituals therein, then we can see that, and we'll touch on that in just a moment as I go to Galatians. As I've told you, since we started this, we're going to end up in Galatians, and now today it seems to be the time. But these brethren came down, or these men, and taught the brethren. They're teaching the church. They're coming to a people who were Gentiles, because the Apostle Paul and Barnabas were sent unto the Gentiles. And Paul, especially being the apostle to the Gentiles, these people are teaching them, you've got to be circumcised. Well, somebody says, well, what does that matter? Does that not sound like today? We have something come up and somebody that's unsound, and somebody says, well, what is it going to hurt? Satan added one word, thou shalt not surely die. What did it hurt? What did it hurt? We fell in Adam. The truth of God is the truth of God. The truth of God is the grace of God. It has absolutely nothing to do with the law. Let me give you this to think about. In this nation which God has so richly blessed, we're talking about a circumcision of the foreflesh. Of course, we know that God gave Abraham the circumcision of the flesh as a token of the covenant that God would establish. Understand that. God established it, not Abraham. And God kept it, not Abraham. That circumcision was in a what we call private place where it was not seen by those standing around Abraham. Now let's look at the true circumcision, which that pointed to, which is the circumcision of the heart, where the Lord said, I will take away your stony heart, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Now this is the true circumcision. This is the hand of God. This is the work of God. This is the purpose of God in His Son, Jesus Christ. That he died for our sins and that he plants himself within us. Our heart is changed. Remember, you cannot see the circumcision of the foreskin. You cannot see the circumcision of the heart, but you see the result of it. You see what God has done in the way a person changes. Now, my question is this, to lay out for you to ponder and consider why we're in the shape we're in today in this land that God has so richly blessed, the church here. Why we suffer the things we do. And I'm going to make this statement, not meaning to be hateful. What does it hurt? It hurts. If it's wrong, it hurts. If it's wrong, one word corrupts the whole thing. It is a lie. It is perversion. Why are there so many versions of the Bible? Well, there's not. There's one given to us by God. Translated 1611 by King James. It's been our standard since that time. There are not other versions. There are perversions. With that said, consider the teaching of man and the world and this nation, the winds of doctrine, and all that has corrupted the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was there in that day. It's here in this day, which is nothing more than the teaching of works to gain salvation.
Yep.
If you cannot accept you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. Salvation is in the grace of God, in the blood of Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save His people, not Adam's race, from their sins. He died upon the cross of Calvary, His body becoming sin for us. He shed His blood. He laid down His life. We had not the power nor the authority to take it. He laid down His life, the purpose of God, saved His people from their sins, defeated death, defeated the devil. Lay in the grave 3 days and three nights, knew no corruption, so he could not have been there very long, and raised up victorious over death, hell, and Satan, and brethren, brought you with him.
Yes.
Now that's the grace of God. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Now I can go back to Acts 10 and tell you about Peter and teach you about the sheet that came down with all manner of four-footed beast. And that's beginning to teach us about the Gentiles. And we can go back to Acts 13 and we can find where Paul and Barnabas were separated not by the church, because the church does not have the authority to send men to preach. It comes from God. It is appointed of God. And is Aaron's rod that budded, God manifests His choice, and bearing fruit, those that He sends to preach, bearing fruit. And they're preaching the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Paul speaking, and we can compare these, and I may go back and forth. I know Acts 13, they're separated to go preach the gospel. We find there Paul. We find there Barnabas. When we get on over in the next of this chapter, we're going to see Judas named Barsabbas and Silas. We're going to see men that were sent with the Apostle Paul and Barnabas into Galatia, into the area being spoken of in Acts 15, where they had been preaching for some 14 years now, according to chapter 2 and verse 2 of Galatians. Understand what Paul is speaking about. Understand why Paul is going to say the things he says by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. This is for us to know. This is for us to understand, that we might understand the truth of the doctrine, the truth of the church, and the importance of the true doctrine of God. I've told you before and I'll say it again. Every true revival that I have seen, religiously speaking, in the church, has been based upon the doctrine of the grace of God. the election of grace that God foreknew, as a man loves his wife and knows her, that God foreknew a people, that God loved a people, that God saved a people, period, in Christ. That's what it's all based upon, the mercy of God, the grace of God, which is Christ. Now, Paul's beginning the Galatian letter, and I'm going to touch on some of this to bring this to you. He's making the clarification, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Why would Paul make that statement? Well, Paul is over here in Acts 15, he and Barnabas, and they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we've read the gospel that they have preached. We hope we preach it every Sunday morning here. We hope we live it through the week. Salvation is of the Lord. The election of grace. Election. Predestination. Oh, those words that modern day religion tried to edit from the book of truth that will not tell you that God chose a people. In fact, denying it, calling it false doctrine. Brethren, those people are called two things in Scripture. This is God's word. This is what God calls them. False prophets and liars. That is what the Bible calls them. They are either deceived or they lie to you deliberately. Period. I base that on the Bible. I don't base that on my emotions or my anger. God calls them false prophets. There were false prophets among the people. Now Paul is making the declaration to these Galatians that he's not an apostle because he chose to be or because he wanted to be. But he's an apostle by Jesus Christ, by the will of God, by the power of God, who raised Christ from the dead. This God I preach unto you, this God I once served under the law and did not serve, because there is no service to God under the law. We'll try to touch on that in a moment. The law was given to convict us. When grace came to reveal unto us, when we see the righteousness of God, that we're sinners. We were unable. We were in enmity with God. And for the purpose of God, Christ saved us from our sins. Paul clarifies this point very hard. I'm not an apostle because James and John and Peter made me an apostle. You read the book of Acts. He has not even been to Jerusalem at this point. He tells us that here. He hadn't seen them. He hadn't talked to them. The last time he saw anything about any of them, he was persecuting the church of God. And then God worked a work. Paul says, I'm an apostle. Ordained of God. Why does that make a difference? I stand in the power of God, he says. I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. I'm not teaching you works. I left that behind the Jewish religion when God, who separated from my mother's womb and revealed his son unto me, and I went forth preaching Christ. I didn't preach the law. I didn't preach Moses. That's not preaching. That's reading the law. I went forth preaching Christ. He says, Paul, an apostle, not by men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me, they're listed here, Acts 15, Barnabas, Silas, Barsabbas, some that James sent with them. They're here listed with me. He's talking to the Galatians. That's where they're at. That's where this false doctrine had been brought in to them, that you must be circumcised. This whole book of Galatians, Paul talks about circumcision. Paul talks about the keeping of the law and justifying yourself by the law. He's not talking about some Islamic doctrine which is alive Satan. Something drastic. Something blatant. He's not talking about something that is going to be a physical war like we see in many places with the Islam back in the day when the King of England attacked them. He's talking about something most would let go in that day and most let go in this day. And then we wonder why we're in the shape we're in. People teaching about justifying yourself by the law.
Don't tell me it's not taught today. Brethren, you've got to believe Him. Brethren, you've got to make a decision. Brethren, you've got to get right with the Lord so you can come to Him. Let me tell you something. You were at enmity with God just as I was, and Christ died for you while you were at enmity with God. While you were yet sinners in your sins, Christ died for the ungodly. And that's how salvation came, and that's what He taught, because God loved you when before the world ever was. Paul is speaking. He says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father. That's what we have in the gospel. And from our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Listen to what Paul teaches. Who gave Himself for our sins? Do you see our work there? Do you see anything we did there? Do you see anything we deserve there other than hell? Who gave Himself, the Son of God, for our sins? For what purpose? That He might deliver us from this present evil world. This is hitting home for now salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Today, in this present evil world, temporally as we live here, and eternal. Why did He do it? According to the will of God and our Father, our Creator, God in heaven, the first person of the Godhead, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I'm going to make a statement with that. Amen. Because God is God and God will be glorified whether we serve God, whether we live forever in eternity, whether we burn in hell. Whatever happens, God is God, needs no justification. All His works are judgment. All His works are right. And He will be glorified. And I thank God for grace and I thank God for loving me. I had nothing to do with it. I could do nothing. I was dead in my sins and loving it when Christ touched me. Now what's Paul say? Remember these men coming in. Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Well, what does it hurt? It's just a little stretch in the truth. What does Paul say? What does Paul say twice? Brethren, we've become so politically correct, you cannot say something wrong is evil. You cannot say something good is good because you're going to offend somebody. I thank God that God speaks clearly and plainly.
Amen.
There are false prophets in the world. I don't care who they are. They're either deceived, and we ought to pray that God give them deliverance. Paul was deceived, was he not? And God gave him deliverance. Or else they're false prophets. You want proof there's false prophets? Read Peter's writings. For there were false prophets in those days. I marvel, Paul says, that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. It's been about 14 years they've had this gospel of Christ taught to them and told to them. Go back to the book of Acts. It's been about 14 years that they've been preached to. Remember Acts chapter 1 about verse 8 where the Lord told them to go. It's been about 14 years since they've been preaching and teaching in Galatia. That's not a long time. That's a short period of time. Read the book of Acts. We've been going through it. The great joy, the great revival, the great teaching. We go back to Jerusalem, see 3,000 added in one day. The power of God. Paul says, I marvel. That's not a wonderfully amazing thing. He marvels at how they could be so carried away in lies and blasphemy against God. Blasphemy is to speak against the Holy Spirit of God. That's what Jesus was talking about. You cannot blaspheme because you have an intercessor and all of your sins are forgiven in Christ. But my point is what blasphemy is. So when one speaks and says, belittles God or belittles Christ or belittles the work of Christ, and that Christ needs your help or Christ is unable to save you or he is not the Son of God or he has not come in the flesh or he was just a prophet or he's just a man, that's blasphemy to God in heaven. That's blasphemy to the second person of the Godhead. What does the Bible say? Paul says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. There's only one gospel, which is not another. But there be some that troubled you. Who are they? Acts 15. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now these men came down from Judea, but if you read this chapter, you find out they were not sent by the church at Judea. They weren't sent by James, John, or Peter, the apostles which were there in Jerusalem. That's the importance of having a God-called ministry and clinging to that fact and that fact alone. Because you're somebody's kinfolk doesn't make you a preacher. Being called of God makes you a preacher. Go back to Aaron's rod, that buddy. Being called of God is fruitful to the church. But there be some that troubled you and would, here's the word, pervert the gospel of Christ. What was the perversion? Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Don't tell me that doesn't not the same thing today. Why do we circumcise our children still? The law is fulfilled in Christ. Why do we teach works and the law? The law is fulfilled in Christ. Yes, we should obey the law. The law, the fulfilling of the law is love. And we certainly ought to love God, and we certainly ought to love each other, and we certainly ought to strive to live as peaceably as we can with all men. But we're not saved by the keeping of the law. That glory belongs to God and Christ alone.
Amen.
Which is not another, but there be some that troubled you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Again, how did they do it? Just a few little words, except ye be circumcised. After the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. And then naturally, as we read on through this chapter, which we're not going to get to today, it's apparent, but then something else comes. Then something else comes. Not just circumcision, but keeping the law of Moses. Keeping the ordinances, keeping the ceremonies that were commanded. Do you know one reason I believe God put all those ceremonies and all those things in the law was to teach us how tedious it is that we cannot do it. We cannot do it. We cannot sustain it. We cannot keep it up. We could not satisfy the law because we're sinners. The law declares the righteousness of God and the law convicts us of our sin. So what does he say? Galatians 1. Paul says in verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven, how important is this? Preach any other gospel, which is not a gospel, because the gospel is good news and keeping the law is not good news, because we cannot. Preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, Christ and Him crucified, let Him be accursed. Whoa. Well, we'll just let it go. No. Now, we have a duty to work with each other. I'm not trying to say throw everybody out of the church makes a mistake. There's none of us that agrees on every single scripture. And I know that, and you know that, and we all know that. But the doctrine is true, and the doctrine is sound, and the doctrine is simple because it comes from God that Christ came into the world to save His people. people from their sins, and that work is finished. Period. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. What is that doctrine he's talking about? Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Can we realize something that appears to be so small and so minute in our eyes in this day in which our minds and hearts have been touched with a hot iron and they're scarred and they're calloused? Can we understand the importance of the truth of God and true doctrine? As I said a moment ago, Satan changed or added one single word and Adam fell. What do we see in Revelation 22? Don't add to the Word of God. Don't take away from the Word of God. It's for our benefit. Well, it's mostly for the glory of God, but we have a benefit in it. And the peace and the joy that we have in the knowledge of God. Paul said, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here to preach the Word of God. I'm here by God's power to turn you from Satan to God, from the power of Satan unto the power of God, from the darkness of Satan unto the light of God, and Jesus Christ is that light. Don't tell me about the works of the law. Don't tell me about your righteousness. Don't tell me about how good you are. Don't tell me how many souls you save. You can't save yourself, much less another. Don't tell me anything, because I determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if yes, please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Let that sink in. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You remember Paul's situation? He tells us here about it next. His time and his conversation and time past in the Jews' religion, profiting, going forth, persecuting the church of God. How did he learn it? God struck him down. Who is it revealed from? God. Through who? Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3. What was the message? That God had a people among the Gentiles. And he talks about the law. And I may come back to that in just a moment. I want to make a point before moving on, if you'll read chapter 2. Before I go back to Acts, to prove to you what time this is talking about, it's talking about the time in Acts 15, chapter 2, Galatians 2, or Galatians chapter 2. 14 years after I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, Titus was there, and I went up by revelation and committed to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, where Acts 13, he and Barnabas were separated unto, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. We're not preaching circumcision. We're not preaching the law. He goes on chapter 3 and 4, he says, do you not hear the law? If you are judged, he that doeth the law is judged by the law. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God, cannot keep the law, cannot fulfill the law. Do you not understand? If we're judged with the law, we're condemned by the law. It's grace. What's the importance of this? Why is Paul striving so hard to teach these people first and foremost, as is always mentioned, for the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ? That all glory be given unto Him. And for our benefit, for our joy, and our knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If I can justify myself by the law, I can fall from the law. If I can keep myself from sin, I would fall from it. But when you're saved by the grace of God and the blood of the eternal Son of God, nothing can take that away. Paul made a statement, and I'm going to say this before going on for a point, that he was sent to be the minister to the non-circumcision. That means the Gentiles, and Peter was sent to be the circumcision, which is the Jews. But now, back to Acts. And certain men which came down from Judea, 15, taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. I hope we've plainly shown this morning that salvation is in Christ and nothing else, and that only to those the Father gave Him. Period. When therefore Paul and Barnabas, verse 2, had no small dissension and disputation with them, these men that came down preaching circumcision, they determined that Paul and Barnabas, who were they? The church in Galatia. Determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem and unto the apostles and elders about this question. We base our practice today upon this. When we have problems, when we have questions, we go to ministers. We go to other churches. We come together. That's where associations were started, supposedly. That we might come together in the unity of Christ and the Bible and the judgment of God in Christ and weigh these things together by Scripture and resolve the problems that face us in this world, being the body of Christ. Well, they were sent up to Jerusalem, the apostles and elders, about this question, and being brought on their way by the church. You catch that? Do you catch that? The church helped get them there. Now, you take that any way you want to. They give them money, they give them food, they give them transportation. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. Point being, they were brought in their way by the church. Let me clarify something. Back to Acts 13. The church does not have the authority to call a man to preach. The church recognizes the gift of God and ordains him. The church does not have the authority to send men to places to preach. But when God sends them places to preach, then the church does have the right, the ability to help them on their way. I know when everyone was so amazed that this African that came over here to go to the Armenian school of doctrine and had nothing but sorrow and the doctrine of man that blows through the world, you must be circumcised. Worrying about his grandparents because they were never circumcised. And then just because he sees the word primitive on the church door, stops in, hears the gospel, rejoices with tears in his eyes, is extended the right hand of fellowship, and through the power of God and through the working of God returns to his native land in Tanzania, and the church of God is brought there by the hand of God. Hallelujah. That's how God works. But the church helped him. Churches all over the land would financially help those people. They didn't make the preacher rich. They didn't buy him a bass boat and a brick house. They dug wells to provide clean water for people that were dying because they had no water. That's what the church did. Brother Vernon Johnson went over there and spent years digging wells for people that lived on mud floors in huts. That's what the church is supposed to do. Forgive me. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. As they're going to Jerusalem, they are preaching the gospel. Don't we do that today? Brother so-and-so will come through. He's got an appointment, let's say, Bethlehem. While he's here, he's going to preach at Grant's Mill. He's going to preach at Beulah. He's going to preach at Vestavia, or anybody else can get him hooked up. He's going to go around preaching of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the same thing they're doing on their way. They're preaching about God bringing the Gentile into the kingdom of God. They're preaching that God in His sovereign, omnipotent power is bringing Gentiles into the church of God here in this world. And they cause great joy unto all the brethren. My goodness, we ought to be so happy when God brings a sinner into the church. Amen. Whether it be one or whether it be a nation. Because they are first and foremost brought into the church by the Spirit of God, brought into the kingdom, and therefore because it is of the Spirit of God, there is and there will be, there shall be, and there must be some change in their heart because God circumcises that heart and Jesus Christ is glorified. I may not see it. You may not see it. It might not be recognizable to me. But I can tell you what, God works it and He sees it. And He's glorified in it, period. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received to the church. And of the apostles, Peter, James, John, and elders, the other ministers there that had been ordained in the church of Jerusalem and in that area. And they declared all things. You think Paul's sitting up there, you hear this, you'd hear this type thing. Paul's up there telling how good he did. Paul's up there telling, look what I did, look what I did. I am this, I did this. That's not how it works. And that's not what they preached, and that is not what we preach. They declared all things that God had done with them. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul? I was on my way persecuting the church of God, hailing men and women to children, separating families, causing them, compelling them to blaspheme at the very point of death. And God revealed His Son in me, and I fell upon my face. What did Paul have to do with that? Absolutely nothing. Look what God has done. And God sent me forth and God worked in me and God touched these men. It's the purpose of God. It's the hand of God. And they declared all things that God had done with them. And the Bible doesn't say it there. It does a verse or two before. But I'll guarantee you they had great joy. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. Now here are some people deceived. Here are some people who are deceived. Why do I say that? Because they believe. What did they believe? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. These are some of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. These are some of the elect of God among the Jews. They wanted to stand in what they'd been taught. Why do we have so much trouble today? A lot of folks want to stand with what they've been taught. Well, that's not what I was taught as a child. Then read the Bible. I've made many mistakes in my life. How do I correct them? Read the Bible. Read the Bible. What does God say? God doesn't say, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. God says, Christ did it. Amen. And it's finished. And that's the gospel we preach. And if we intend to prosper, that needs to be, or that must be, the only gospel we preach. But there arose up certain sect of Pharisees which believed in Christ, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Does that sound familiar? I'm going to stop there for time, and because of the paragraph marker, next week we'll go into the apostles coming together and conference, I'll call it conference or synod if you please, and we'll talk about the answer which came forth from their conference and the power of God which led to it. But would understand the teaching in the world and understand the teaching of God and understand the importance of true doctrine and why Paul said the things he said.